As we come to look at this passage together, let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we thank you so much for your word to us. We thank you it is a word that speaks into our lives today. Help us to hear what you are saying by the power of your Spirit, and help me to speak words that are faithful to your word and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Well, I was walking along the road the other day and I bumped into someone I hadn't seen since before lockdown back in March. She knows I'm a vicar and she said to me, "What's happening to the world? It's all gone crazy." And I guess she was sort of talking to me as I'm a vicar and saying, "Well, you know, what's God up to? What's happening here? What's God doing about these things?" And maybe as you look at the problems in the world today, the having to wear masks everywhere, the restrictions, the social distancing, the uncertainty about the future, the growing number of hospital cases once more, maybe you're crying out to God and you're saying, "How long, God, is this going to go on for? Why are you doing this to our worlds?" It's a question for all of us as a community, as Christians, and for the world as a whole. And asking God those questions is actually something that the Bible does. The psalm that was just read to us, Psalm 80, is one of a collection of 150 songs and prayers in the middle of the Bible. And many of them cry out to God with questions. And this psalm is no exception. And for the people writing this psalm, we're not quite sure exactly what was going wrong with their country at the time, but probably what may well have been happening, the most likely thing, is that it was at the time of the Assyrian invasion. Assyria was a mighty empire becoming stronger and stronger. And in the 8th century BC, about 750 years before Jesus, the Assyrians came and they invaded Israel. And Israel at that time were two kingdoms, a northern kingdom called Israel and a southern kingdom called Judah. And when the Assyrians invaded, the northern kingdom was completely wiped out and the southern kingdom around Jerusalem only just survived. And the Assyrians were vicious and brutal invaders. If you're caught up in their invasion, it's likely they would burn your house down, kill your family, and drag you off to a foreign land. And that's if you were lucky. To face the Assyrian invasion compared with facing the coronavirus crisis is a bit like having your house burnt down compared with breaking a plate. This was a tragic and terrifying situation to live through. And that was what life was like at the time the Bible was written. Things were much more brutal, much more tough, much more suffering going on then than they are now. And yet, so the situations like this that the psalmists write, and the psalmists pray to God and cry out to God. And they have questions for God. In this psalm, there are two key questions. I don't know if you noticed that when we read through it. The first one comes in verse 4 and says, "How long, God, will you ignore your people's prayer? How long will you stay angry at us?" And the stress there is on your people. You see, the people writing the Psalms were part of Israel. They knew they were God's chosen, God's special people. And the psalm emphasizes that. Right at the start, it says, "Hear us, shepherd." That's a symbol for leadership of Israel. That's the only time in the Bible that phrase, "shepherd of Israel," is used. And then the next line, "You who lead Joseph." Joseph was one of the key children of Jacob, who was called Israel. Is again a name for the whole country in a way. "You who lead Joseph like a flock." These are your people, God. Why are you not answering our prayers? How long is it going to be until you act, God? And today, as the coronavirus crisis drags out, as we're looking to have more and more restrictions again rather than less and less, as we know the problems are going to continue at least until the spring and possibly longer, we cry out to God, "How long are you going to keep doing this to our world? How long are you going to ignore our cries for it to end?" And then in verse 7, the psalm has another question. Why is your protection missing? I say verse 7, it's actually verse 12. Why have you broken down its walls? Why have you broken down its walls? You see, the picture it picks up here is of Israel as a vineyard or a vine. And in those days, you would build a wall around your vineyard to stop people coming in and stealing the grapes, to stop animals coming in and eating the plant, or swine or boars coming in and digging up the roots. And the wall was there to protect the vineyards. And the picture here looks back at the history of Israel. And it sees the history of Israel as a story of God's concern for his special people. He rescued them from Egypt, from slavery there, and he put them into the promised land and cleared the land for them so they could grow up and flourish in that land. And over the centuries, Israel, the people of Israel, became a great nation. The imagery is of the vineyard spreading massively over great areas of land and trees and everything else. God made his kingdom grow and develop from almost nothing to be this mighty kingdom. And yet now, it feels like God has gone. He's abandoned them. It feels like he's no longer protecting them as the nations invade and the people are dragged away. Why is your protection missing? The psalmist writes. And today, as the virus floods around the world, we may ask, where is God's protection? Where is God's support and help to keep us safe from this virus? And as we ask these questions, maybe you're someone that looks at the world and sees, well, doesn't always suffering, doesn't always pain just point to the fact of an easy answer to the questions. And you might say that the answer is that God does not exist or God does not care. And yes, that is a straightforward and a simple answer. But where does it leave you? If there is no God, then we are left at the mercy of whatever tragedy or crisis comes along. Science will not always solve our problems. And throughout history, people have been at the mercy of horrifying tragedies, like the Assyrian invasion, like pandemics. If there is no God, then life is just a matter of potluck. If you live in good times, great. If you live in bad times, tough. But ultimately, we all die. If no God, there is no hope. And yet, the writer of the psalm does not answer the questions in those ways. Because the writer of the psalm looks back over the history of Israel. And he knows that God has kept his promises. God has been there for his people. God does exist, God does care, and God does act. And as Christians, we know that to be true as well. And actually, as we look at the story of Jesus Christ, and particularly the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we see that God is there. Even on the cross, Jesus felt God's absence. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Quoting another challenging question in another psalm. And it seemed like God had abandoned him, God had forsaken him, and yet, on the third day, God raised him from the dead. God rescued him. And God gives us hope that actually our biggest enemy is defeated by God himself. Death has no more power over us when we put our trust in God and follow him. God may at times seem absent, but when we look at the resurrection, when we look at the history of God's dealings with his people, when maybe we look back at the history of God's dealing with ourselves and how he's answered our prayers, we know that God does exist. God is real and God does care. God may be absent, but that does not mean that he's abandoned us. God's protection may no longer be there, but it does not mean he's forgotten his promises. Just because God's not picking up the phone it doesn't mean that he's not there. We may not know the answer to the questions how long or why. We may never know those answers. But the answer does not, that does not mean that the answer is that God does not exist and God does not care. And actually, when you think about it, what we need is not an explanation, but a solution or salvation. If you're seriously ill with COVID-19, what you need is not an explanation of why you're ill, of how the virus works and affects your body. Interesting though that may be. What you need is to see a doctor, to receive treatments, and to be cured. And what this psalmist does in looking at these questions is not to give us clear answers to the questions, not to explain why God's doing this or how long it will be, but actually to call out for what he really needs. And the way the answer is this, is God's presence. That's what we really need. And you may have noticed as we heard the psalm being read that three verses repeat the same phrase. Verse 3, "Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved." And in verse 7, "Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved." And in verse 19, "Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved." That idea of seeing someone's face is such a powerful image. Did you know that babies, from the moment of birth, can recognise faces from distinct from other things? They did an experiment where they showed had a paddle with a picture on it, and they let it pass in front of a baby's face in their line of sight and saw how long they watched it for. And they found that if the picture was of a proper face, then the baby watched it for much longer. Babies can recognise faces early on. And they also discovered that within hours of being born, babies recognise more clearly their own mother's face as distinct or different from other faces. Faces are so important to us. They also discovered that within months, babies are able to understand the expressions on people's faces and the emotions that they communicate. And as adults, we know that faces are important. Often faces will be plastered over billboards because that's what draws our attention. When we watch dramas or films on TV, they'll often focus you on the face of the actor to help you see and understand what's going on and what their emotions are and their responses are to what's going on. Faces are so important. And to see someone's face, particularly someone you care for, someone you love, particularly if you haven't seen them for a long time, brings real joy and real blessing, especially if they're smiling at you. A smiling face can lift our spirits. It shows welcome. It shows connection. It shows blessing. And what the psalmist cries out for in the midst of the terror of the crisis they're going through is to see God's face. And actually, this links back to the blessing that God had given for the priests to say over the people of Israel, to say to them, "May God bless you and may his face shine upon you." God's presence is the answer that we need. God's presence with us is our ultimate need, our ultimate solution. And there's three aspects that I think the psalmist points to in what God's presence brings us. First of all, God's presence brings us power. In those opening verses, he talks about God as the one who sits enthroned between the cherubim. Cherubim were kinds of angels, and the Ark of the Covenant, which was made by Israel and put in their temple, and you may have seen pictures of it on the film Raiders of the Lost Ark, but it was put there as a symbol of God's presence. It's meant to be his throne, that God was seated above it when he came to be with his people. And so Israel would take it out with them in their in their battles in the early days, as a symbol of God's presence with them to help them win the battle. And so the psalm cries out to God, you are the one who's enthroned between the cherubim. You're the one who's above the cherubim. You're the one who has power. Come and help us, your people. And mentions these tribes, the tribes of the northern kingdom that were being hit by the Assyrians, Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. He says, awaken your might, come and save us. He wants God's power. And just as if you are seriously ill, what do you want? You want someone who has power to heal you. To see the face of a doctor or a paramedic when you've collapsed in the street gives you hope. It means salvation. And in the same way, the psalmist calls out for God's presence to bring salvation, to bring God's power. And as Christians, we know that because of the resurrection, when the disciples, after Jesus had been crucified on the cross, on that third day saw him come among them, when he showed his face to them and his presence with them, they knew that the God of power, even over death, was there with them. And so God's face shining on us is a sign of his power and a sign of his salvation that is available to us to defeat even death itself. But secondly, God's presence with us is also a sign of God's concern for us. Verse 4, it says, how long, God Almighty, will your anger smoulder against the prayers of your people? You may have said to someone, when you're angry with them, I don't even want to look at your face. Have you heard that phrase? And there is a sense in which we're angry with someone, we don't want to see them. We don't have anything to do with them, it may be. And if you know someone's angry with you, they're upset with you, what do you long for? Maybe you long that they would forgive you. And they'll come to you again, not with an angry face, but with a smiling face. To see the smiling face of someone who has been really angry with you, but has now forgiven you, is a real blessing and a real joy. And actually, we need God's anger to end. We need God to turn around and to smile at us, to welcome us. And that's why God sent Jesus. He sent him to die on the cross that our sins could receive the anger we deserve and we could be forgiven. And that when we turn back to God, we'll not discover an angry God, but a God whose face is smiling at us and welcoming us to his kingdom. Knowing that his concern is renewed for us. All we need is God's presence that comes with forgiveness. And finally, what we need is God's life in us. There's a lot of questions over the last few verses. I don't want to get stuck into the details of those. But in verse 18 it says, then when we will not turn away from you, revive us, that means give us life, and we'll call on your name. Yes, we need practical help for the physical issues that we face and the difficulties that we face. But actually, the Bible says again and again, we need to be transformed within. We need our hearts changed. And God's presence with us, particularly through the Holy Spirit, is there to change us, to transform us, that we will not carry on turning away from God, doing our own thing, doing our own sin, and doing the things that make God angry at us, but we'll learn to live for God, to become that fruitful vine that he wants us to be, to have God's presence in us and with us, and to be part of God's people. Is to be changed within as well as without. So as you ask the questions of what is going wrong with the world, and they're good questions to ask, and God would encourage you to ask those to him, don't be so concerned for explanations, but look instead for salvation. and know that the ultimate answer for salvation is to have God with us. And God did come to be with us in Jesus Christ, born as a child to meet with us face to face, to grow up, to die on the cross for our sins that we could know God's forgiveness and God's concern renewed for us, to rise from death that we might know the power of resurrection, and to send his Holy Spirit that our lives might be changed and transformed, that we might live for him. Are you someone who's seeking God's face? God will turn to you if you will turn to him. Don't look at the problems of the world and think God does not exist, that God does not care. Rather see that our ultimate need, our ultimate answer, is the presence of God himself. May God's face shine upon you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it teaches us about you. We thank you for the example of this great prayer. Help us, Lord, to seek your face, to know your forgiveness, to know your concern, to know your power, to know your transformation in our lives. That no matter what tragedy or crisis falls us at this time, we may have the hope of eternal life with you forevermore. Amen.